Let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning as we continue looking at the church and all the aspects belonging to that subject that the Lord Jesus loves. He said he loves the church and he's building the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19 says, "What know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God, which are God's." We've seen in our study so far that Christ does love the church. He's building it, and he loves it. He loves you because you are the church. Isn't it nice to be loved this morning? There's some people that just don't feel loved. There's a whole world out there that really don't feel that anyone's concerned for them, that anyone loves them. But the Lord loves them, and that's why we need to take the message to them. Those who are hurting, that don't feel like anyone loves them, Jesus loves them. He gave himself for them. But let me ask you this morning, why does the church exist? Have you ever thought about that? What is the primary purpose of the church? If Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, the question is, why? Well, if I ask you this morning and we went down the line, some of you would have a variety of answers. Some might say to present the gospel to the lost. Some might say to bring hope to the hurting, to provide a place for worship and instruction, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to support wholesome values, or to train our children in spiritual truths, to provide for the needy, to give help to people and give them an opportunity to serve, to teach the Bible. All of these are great functions of the church, but none express the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to glorify the Lord as the body of Christ. All these things we've mentioned will bring glory to the Lord, but the purpose of the church is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring honor to him. Now, the church, as we understand the church, is not the building. The church is the body of believers controlled by the Holy Spirit that radiates glory in the indwelling presence of the Lord in all that the church does. You see, when you got saved, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you. We call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have all the Holy Spirit that you ever have. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? That's the real question. And the more we allow God to control our life, the more glory will bring to him as we live. And so those of us individually are the body of Christ, and when we are joined together, like this morning, the body of Christ is the church gathered together. So the mission of the church is to reach people and disciple them, but the purpose of the church is to glorify the Lord. So I want us to study this morning a little bit about the glorification of the Lord through the church. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whatsoever therefore ye eat or drink or whatever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Individually and then as the church. So I'd like for us to consider the purpose of the church this morning and the glorification of the Lord. And we see that in Scripture, the Bible gives an analogy of the body. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to look at the first four verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now there are a lot of words here that in just reading through might confuse us, and we might say, well, Paul, what are you talking about? What he's saying here is the day is coming when our body will be dissolved. You see, our body is an earthly house, a tabernacle. Holy Spirit lives and dwells within us. And so our house is the tabernacle of God in the church age. The Old Testament, the temple was the house of God. That's why they said when they went into the temple area, it's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord. Today, the church building is not the house of the Lord. Somebody said, really? You are the house of the Lord. God dwells within you, not with this building. The only time that God is in this building is when you're here. Now we know God is everywhere, but I'm saying that the Holy Spirit, in His power and His majesty, is not here Monday at 2 in the afternoon, because nobody's here. And the Holy Spirit is present when you're present, because Holy Spirit's with you. And so you're a tabernacle, and the body will be dissolved one day, but it will be fashioned one day and formed out of a new body. And I believe this passage in 2 Corinthians 5 is telling us about when you immediately go to be with the Lord, your soul will not be just floating around somewhere. You'll have a temporary body there, because the soul will not be naked. You'll have a body awaiting when it comes back for the glorified body at the resurrection. That makes sense? But your body here, this old flesh and blood, the bones, and you know, it's going to be dissolved one day. Little girl was asking her mother about where we came from, and so mom told the little girl, well, honey, God formed us out of the dust of the earth. And one day when we die, we'll return to be dust in the earth. So she said, okay, I think I understand that. A little later, little girl come running down the steps and said, Mommy, Mommy, there's somebody either coming or going under my bed. So we're going to turn to dust one day. We're going to be dissolved, because this is just a temporary dwelling place for the Spirit of God. One day you will hear that I have died. And I'll carry the body into the church. Some of you may come up here and say, wow, doesn't Pastor Larry look good? No, he looks dead. He may look dead now, I'm not sure. But don't mourn for those who pass on who know the Lord. Now, we're going to miss that person. I mean, there's some mourning that goes on that we won't see them for a while. But we don't mourn, we don't grieve as others who have no hope, because we'll see them again one day. Death for the Christian is not a sorrowful time, but it should really be a time of rejoicing, because they've just changed homes. They've gone on to be in their new location. And so the church, you and I as the church, is a body which the Lord comes to live in at salvation. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, you're a unique situation in the church age. The Old Testament people did not have the Holy Spirit living in them. God came upon certain individuals like Moses and David and Joshua and the Old Testament people who were leaders and the priests. He came upon them, but He didn't come to dwell in them. The only people that God has dwelt within is the church. What a privilege that is. But it is also an awesome responsibility. We are in Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." A holy temple. You and I, as we meet together as the church, we're a holy temple of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You don't make, you should not make, your own decisions about yourself. The Bible says you're not your own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, Paul said, "Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You and I individually and you and I collectively are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit because they belong to God. So everything we do, everywhere we go, everything we say ought to glorify the Lord. Jesus has taken up residence in his body, the church, in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is the head. We are the body. So as Christ's body, the church then, is to glorify the Lord. Jesus is to be glorified in his church as he dwells in it. In Ephesians 3:20, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. So unto him, Jesus, is to be glory by the church. Now, the thing we need to understand is, why should we glorify the Lord? Because of what he's done for us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were going our own way. We were going in our own direction. We were doing whatever we wanted to do. And what we wanted to do was sin. But God loved us so much, John 3:16 says, that he sent his one-of-a-kind son, Jesus, to die for us. There's never been one like him before. There'll never be one like him after. He is the one and only, the only begotten son, the Lord Jesus, who came to this world as a sinless Lamb of God and paid for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Thus, we ought to have the attitude of wanting to glorify the Lord because of what he's done for us. Now, when we talk about glory, there are three types of glory that I'd like to mention briefly. First of all, there's the holy light that comes from God. In the Old Testament, at Exodus 40:34, the Bible says, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." It's referred to as the Shekinah glory. It must have been a blinding light, because God is holy, and he is the light of the world. A blinding light was present when the Jews, when they knew that he was with them. He led them through the wilderness by this Shekinah glory. They followed the glory of the Lord. And that's a reminder to me that the church is to give forth the light of God. Jesus is the light of the world. We have the Lord living within us. So should we not give forth the light of God to a lost and dark world? I was reminded just how dark and sinful this world is this week. I used to shave with Harry's razors. Anybody familiar with them? I'm all alone. All alone am I. Well, I think it was Monday, looking on Facebook, and here come an ad from Harry's Razors that they are now featuring a brand new handle for their razors. It's called the Pride Razor, celebrating homosexuality. And so they made this available for those who would like to buy one. Well, I started doing a little typing and I said, I will never, ever purchase any of your products again, promoting a sinful lifestyle, one that dishonors God, because God says that lifestyle is an abomination. Well, there was others that joined in also and said that they never buy anything from them again. Well, the onslaught after that, you talk about a dark, sinful world. You should have seen the comments from the homosexual movement and the people of Harry's Razors. Woo! They said, yeah, go ahead and believe those fairy tales if you want to. Well, folks, the day is coming when they're going to discover that this book is not a book of fairy tales. When they stand before a holy God and realize in 1 Corinthians 6 that that practices homosexuality shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And Jesus will say, out from me, ye that work iniquity. So, it's just a reminder to me of just how wicked our world is and how we must shine forth the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's the glory of the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory of God, and then the glory that is from the celestial bodies, the terrestrial bodies, creation. We see in 1 Corinthians 15:39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts. Boy, that hits in the head there of we came from apes. Different flesh, different beings. We're not the same. Another of fishes, another of birds. And there are also celestial bodies and bodies of terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So, in Psalm 19:1, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God is glorified when we look up and we see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and we remind ourselves, God made this. When we look at the earth, God made this. Brings glory to the Lord. Third glory that I see in Scripture is for the church. And glory means to magnify, to elevate, to shed splendor on the Lord, to exalt Christ as we humble ourselves. And so you and I as the church, as believers in Christ, must humble ourselves. John the Baptizer in John 3:30 said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He went on, John 1:23, and he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them and said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John said he must increase, I must decrease. And so we must, as one elderly pastor made an observation, it's hard for God to glorify God. It's hard for us to glorify God and ourselves at the same time. We've got to decrease. Now, go back and remember what you used to be before salvation. We weren't much, were we? We were sinful. Our soul was dead in trespasses and sins. We were nothing without God. D.L. Moody had it right when he observed, the beginning of greatness is to be little, the increase of greatness is to be less, and the perfection of greatness is to be nothing. You and I in the church ought to be fighting to be the last, the least in the church. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. That's what Jesus says. And so we've got to decrease in our glorification of ourselves. Some people are only busy doing things if they could be noticed. I've been in a lot of churches that is so true. They want to be noticed. They want to be glorified. But the only one that needs to be glorified is the Lord Jesus. Now, that's the analogy of the body. We're the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And then there's the glorification through the body. First, rather in Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the body is to bring glorification. Then let me ask you, how does the church bring glory to the Lord? How does the church, you and I, individually and collectively as the church, bring glory to the Lord? I believe we do that when the church allows the Lord to lead, Jesus is glorified. When you and I as individuals and collectively as the church, let God lead, then God is glorified. Now folks, we can draw a crowd. We can draw a crowd by doing things like the world would. But God's not glorified in that. I saw in the paper, sadly, this past week, that one of the area churches in the Hampton Roads area was offering free beer after church last week. They gained 100 people at that service. Now you can draw a crowd. We could put it in the paper, they're going to have free beer after church next week, and we'll draw a crowd. Some just be curious. They really mean that? But folks, that's not how you build a glorified church. We've got to come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We can establish a healing and miracle ministry. God still heals. And we can emphasize that, but if you look on television to these faith healers, who gets all the glory? Usually the faith healer. God's to receive the glory. We could have a circus. A circus brings crowds. Worldly methods will bring a crowd, but the question is Christ glorified in that situation? I believe he's glorified when we as the church and individually as believers in Christ come out from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God, that's us, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we should allow the Lord to lead us. And he's not going to lead us into worldliness and sinfulness in order to draw a crowd. We're to lift up the name of Jesus, and those will come. If we do things our way, he can't get the glory. When we walk in our strength, he will not get the glory. We're to do things his way so that he can receive all the glory. His ways are much higher and purer than ours. So in our individual lives, we are to discern, what does God want me to do? And you know, if you're looking for a college, you need to spend some time in prayer discerning, Lord, what kind of college and what college do you want me to go to? I believe God, as you're living for the Lord and you are putting God first in your life, He will direct you in the profession you're to go into and how you're to live your life. If you're thinking about your job and your work, I believe He'll direct you in that path. I believe, just Pauline this past week lost her job. They were downsizing, moving to another area. But some people were coming in to fill some of those positions from their headquarters. And she just trusted God. And wouldn't you know that they gave her one of those jobs that were coming in? You see, God's in charge. God's never going to leave us nor forsake us or leave us out there on a limb somewhere. Now, He may get us to go through some difficulties, trials, those hours, Paul, between her losing her job and getting a new one. Those are trying times. She was here in tears that night when she told us that Wednesday night that she said that she had lost her job. But God didn't forget her. And God's not going to forget you. He's got a plan for your life. And so we as individuals need to discern the plan for our lives. What does God want us to do? I believe He has a plan for our church. And we might come up with all kinds of things we could do. Well, let's do this, that, and the other, and people will come. Well, maybe not. Because we've got to discover His plan. And when we get a hold of His plan for the church, He'll bring people in to hear the gospel, to get saved, to be baptized, to join the church. Our main concern as the church should be Jesus' main concern, and that is to build the church, not just get people to come. I've known churches that their only interest was to fill up the pews on Sunday. Let's just get people here. Our goal as the church should be reaching out to the lost. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. As we're going, teach the nations. Teach as we're going through life, no matter where we are or who they are, we're to reach them for Jesus Christ. Reach unsaved people. And then when they get saved, we're to baptize them, salvation, then baptism, and then to teach them the spiritual truths that we all know and love. That's what we're called to do. How we're to do that is what we need to pray about. We don't need to pray about, Lord, do you want us to reach people? There's some certain things in the Bible and certain things in life you don't have to pray about. That's one of them. You do not have to pray about what we should do as a church. We're to go out and reach people, baptize them, and then disciplize them. But how we do that, that's something to pray about. Lord, what do you want us as a church to do to reach people? One preacher said recently, many churches are trying to keep the same old tired programs that God was finished with long ago. We've got to be flexible. We got to realize that some things that worked in 1950 don't work today. One of the things that used to work in 1950 was go door to door. Knock on the door. Hi, we're from White Edge Grove Baptist Church. We'd like to invite you to church. Well, come on in. That don't work. They don't open the door. They say, get away. Get out of here. I'll sick my dog on you. Or you hear a shotgun being, you know, I mean, that's not a way to do stuff today. This isn't 1950, and 1950 is not coming back. This is the 21st century, and so there's some things that some churches are propping up, like Thursday night visitation, that God was done with about 1985. There are new ways to do things. And one of the ways of doing things today, now next year might be different. We got to be flexible, see what God's doing. Today, the internet, Facebook, is one of the areas, a web page. I talked with a pastor last week, and he said their web, everyone that comes to their church and visits, he always asks them, how did you find out about our church? What brought you here today? And 9 out of 10 say it was your web page. So people are being reached today, not going door to door, but through the web page. So that's one thing, and we've done that. We've got a web page. We're still working on it. Another thing that God wants us to do, of course, is at Matthew 28:19, be a witness wherever you go. Don't wait for a Thursday night visitation program. It won't be coming. It's not going to come. But as you go through life, be a witness, be a testimony. Tell somebody about Jesus and what he means to you. And some of them will go, why? Some of them will want to know more. And realize that sometimes people have to hear the gospel 6-7 times before they respond. You might tell them one time, somebody else will tell them again, somebody else will tell them again, and eventually, as God works in their heart, and in his timing, they respond and get saved. There are people that you'll witness to that you'll never know that they got saved down the road. But someday in heaven, somebody will come up to you and said, you know, you were the first one that told me about Jesus. And you didn't know. There's a boy in our neighborhood when I was 12 maybe. I don't remember much about those days. I remember the times I got in trouble, but we're not going to talk about that. But here's a fella that told me about Jesus, invited me to his church. And I went. They had a revival meeting, and I didn't get saved then. And they moved on. But he never knew I got saved. Down the road, I got saved. Who started all that? That 12-year-old boy in the neighborhood. That's what we are to do as the church. How we do that, we need to pray about. So, we bring glory to God when we, as the church, allow the Lord to lead. And secondly, when the church seeks to give God the glory in everything we do, we bring glory to the Lord. When we seek to give God the glory in everything we do. There were three men working on a large building project. One asked, what are you doing? One guy said, I'm mixing mortar. Second man said, I'm helping put up the great stone wall. But the third man was asked, and his reply was, I'm building a building to the glory of God. And that's what you and I need to do. We glorify God every time we have the attitude that we're doing this for God. Some of you may have a job that you just hate. I've had those kind of jobs. Just hate it. But if you got the attitude, Lord, I'm going to do this for your glory. I don't like this job, but I'm going to do it like this is your job, and I'm going to do it the best way I can. For your glory. God will be glorified in your heart. Now, nobody else may know that, but God sees your heart, and you and I can give glory. And so, we close today again with 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. May God help us to do that. Each day. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, today that we realize that we have the Holy Spirit living and abiding in us. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, we glorify God in our body, which is yours. And it's just reasonable service because you love us so much. Father, I pray that we might be mindful to give you glory in all that we say and all that we do, that Christ would be praised and glorified in our lives. And Father, I pray if there are any here today that do not know Christ as Savior, that today they might realize that need and trust the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior and the Lord of their life. Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen.